We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We are good. Of course, you know, we've known Scott for quite some time. He had a movie out not long ago, just a few years back, called The List.
Right.
And did well. And you've got a brand new movie that's going to be coming out this Friday. And, of course, all the theaters we've been talking about, the theaters opening back up this week. I guess you have to wear a mask and do all that stuff.
That's correct. That's correct. It's coming out in Regal Cinemas. Regal is opening up starting this Friday. They are extreme. They are really, really, staying in touch with the COVID guidelines. They're making the theaters very safe. You have to wear a mask. I mean, they're really, really stepping up to keep everybody safe. So, we say that Regal Theaters are probably the safest place in the country right now because of what they're doing to keep their patrons safe. But yes, this Friday.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Now we have seen the trailer, and quite fun. It's just funny because, being that we used to go to church together and knowing you, I'm like, I see you as a lead actor and also a director, producer, whatever, to this movie. And I'm like going, wow, he's a big shot now.
I didn't even recognize you in it.
Well, that's plenty of hair. That's our hair and makeup department.
Yes.
Yeah, they do a really good job.
No, you know what? Quite frankly, though, watching the trailer, you really are a good actor, man. I'm impressed.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know, man. I think you got upstaged by that little girl.
Well,
she's amazing. Where did you find her?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, we did Jordan Brown Casting helped us cast. We had 9,000 submissions for actors across the board. And, I mean, there's some major talent out there. And, she came in, and there were some top contenders. And a lot of people were – everybody who read the script – said, whoever you cast as this little girl has got to nail it. And she came in and she absolutely nailed it in the audition. She comes from an awesome family. She's very grounded and she's very mature for her age.
Right.
And she's got a great work ethic. So, she lives in Greenville. Her family's from England.
Wow.
So her mom actually came into the audition and, we called her in and I heard this strong English accent. And so I said to her, I said, I hear a little bit of Alabama in your voice. And she said, oh, yes, Birmingham, in her accent. And I'm like, all right, we can work with them. So it was just awesome. And she was just spot on. And she's just absolutely blowing it up.
Yeah, Hawk says we saw the trailer, but I think we saw a little more than that. And some of the scenes with her, she's the perfect character. She's got such a precociousness to her. And you just want to fall in love with her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's got that spunk, but not too much spunk that she's likable. So it is one of those roles where you just, you have to tread that line so carefully.
Right.
And it was like, thank you, God. So we're extremely, extremely happy. She was a blast to work with, too. We ended up, we did an Airbnb. So her mom and her stayed with me and my wife and some of the other producers and in Augusta when we were filming. And so she would, as the Tulsa character, she'd write, notes to my character, Tommy, and leave them on the fridge, Here's some, she said, hands off my cupcakes, Tommy, because, she bought these cupcakes. And then, of course, I would hide them and say, Tulsa, I'd leave her a note. The cupcakes were awesome. Thank you so much. They were delicious. And so it was fun kind of on and off screen, definitely building that chemistry. Her mom was there, really, really supporting her. So it was just, man, it was just a great time, and it was fantastic.
Well, she reminds me of the My Girl girl a lot of ways from that movie. But, also, the two of you working together, that has to be interesting. Do you have kids now?
I do. I've got three boys. I don't have a girl. We're massive testosterone family. So it was, you know, I don't have a daughter. And so it was good for my character because I'm kind of, you know, growing on set because it's like, okay, this little girl that, you know, my boys, you know, they're just rough and tough. And,
right.
It was definitely kind of a learning curve for me, but it was at the same time, it was really cool.
Well, we're on the phone with our friend Scott Pryor. He is in a movie this weekend. It's opening nationwide, and it's called Tulsa. Tell us a little bit about the story, and I know it's based on a true story.
Yes, it's inspired by true events. So, essentially, Tulsa is a the movie starts out, and you see Tommy Colston. He's a Marine with PTSD. He runs a biker shop and all that. And he's in a bad place. He's stuck. He's dealing with PTSD. He's dealing with major tragedy in his life, and he's just stuck. He can't get over it. And the worst, lowest time in his life, and then all of a sudden he gets a call that they found his daughter, and he didn't even know he had a daughter.
Right.
And so he's like, I'm not ready to be a dad. And then literally Tulsa's kind of forces her way into his life.
Yeah.
And she's a spunky, tough personality, but sweet. And she goes to reform Tommy, and Tommy doesn't want to be reformed. And so it's there's a lot of humor. There's a lot of really funny scenes. And so then initially they fight each other, but then they ended up fighting for each other.
Don't give it all away.
He hasn't yet.
I won't. But it is very, very touching. Anyone who's watched the film, we're getting awesome results. We had a mayor in Louisiana call us up, and he said, I have to have this movie in my town, in this theater, make it happen. And so we're getting calls from around the country on the response has been overwhelming. It's been awesome. Even for an independent film to hit Regal and Regal pick it up nationwide is a dream. I mean, it's a dream. So we're super pumped.
Well, and I know you and I were talking earlier this week, and I think you brought out a good point, the situation in the pandemic and how it's changed things. And a lot of people are looking for an outlet, and we'll discuss a little bit about that and what you and I were talking about earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. So, right now, like we were talking about right now, everybody's got fear. They've got they're anxious. There's a lot of depression going on. There's a uncertainty in the future, add political unrest in election year, kids going back to school. Everyone's just, people are hurting right now. And so we see Tulsa as a way for families to come out as a family, go to the theater. It's a family-friendly movie, go to the theater and enjoy. I mean, this film is it's a message of hope. It's like sunshine for your soul. It's a story of redemption, and I promise you will leave the theater changed. It will just help you and help the family, and just give you a breath of fresh air, get you some sunshine in your life. And, we're really excited. And it's just, an opportunity for us to kind of help, our country and God willing help the world right now with this film.
Now you mentioned that it's family friendly. It actually has a little bit of a Christian message in it, doesn't it?
That's correct.
And that seems to be a trend right now, I've noticed. In fact, I was talking to someone not long ago, and they gave me a list of like their five favorite movies, and three of them were these independent Christian movies that had really made them feel good about things. And I think that's starting to be – we're starting to see people hungering for this.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's definitely a trend. I know – I love to see, when I sit down for a movie, and I'm a huge, huge film fan. I've been my entire life. And when I sit down in that theater, I want to go on a journey, and I want something to move me. I'm not looking just for art for the sake of art. I want to go on a journey with these characters.
Right.
And that's one of the things that we try to do in the writing is really, really, really delve into the characters. What makes these characters tick? What's the relationship? And so we spend so much time on the story that, you can't make a John, John Schneider was in it, and John made a good point. He said, you can't make a great movie off of a good script. And where I feel like our strength is as filmmakers is certainly the foundation is the story. The foundation is an excellent script. and we went through it and through it and through it. And so we're really excited about that. As a matter of fact, it went to we only put it in one film festival. It was a very large film festival. It's the largest Christian film festival, ICFF. And we submitted it unfinished because, you know, we shot it and we just didn't have time to finish it in post. And an unfinished film is actually a little bit painful to watch, to be honest.
Yeah.
So we didn't know what was going to happen. So we were nominated for Best Picture and then Best Script, and we ended up winning. We finished it, and then, you know, they allowed us to finish it and then play it for the festival. We ended up winning the Audience Choice Award, which is, you know, the audience's favorite film.
That's great.
So we were excited about that.
Yeah, and, you know, this, you talk about movies and stories and plots, and it's a lot of times it's character. Like, you think of Driving Miss Daisy. That's not an exciting plot, but the characters were so powerful. And I noticed in what we saw, you're cheering these characters on. You're rooting for them.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it does, because it's like, you know, it seems to be sometimes there's a tug of war between great characters or a great story.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you have to have both. You have to have great characters, but it has to be a great story, and the story has to move and it has to change. Maybe it's because I'm ADD, and so if I'm watching a movie, I can usually say this is going to happen, or I'll usually finish a line.
Right.
It drives my family crazy, but I love those films.
Yeah.
I love those films.
Well,
where there's a gap in expectation.
Right.
Like, oh,
it does something you didn't expect.
Yes.
Well, we're talking to our longtime friend, Scott Pryor, to the Hawk and Tom Show. He's a lead role in a movie called Tulsa, and you also direct this movie. Tell me a little bit about, like, because, you know, I've known you for years, and then all of a sudden when you had your first movie out, the list, a couple years ago, I'm like, I didn't even know you did this stuff. So if someone, like, because I know you do, you practice law as well in Atlanta. But, like, what made you desire to become a movie actor and do your own movies?
Sure.
Big-time movies.
You know, I did some acting in high school. I actually did some acting in college. I was more into, like, athletics and that sort of stuff. But I did it. I enjoyed it. I loved the creative side. And then when I got into law, so what I do is an attorney out of my own firm, Scott Pryor Law, shameless plug. So what we do is, we deal with very serious catastrophic injuries. So my clients are victims of very serious injuries or death cases. Matter of fact, a number of years ago, we had a big tractor trailer case in Greenville County. And we actually set a record for one of the highest verdicts or cases of its kind in Greenville County. And so anyhow, in dealing with these really, really tough tragedies and situations, as a person, you know, it certainly grounds you. You're just right there in life fighting for your clients and just going through these tragedies with your clients. And so writing and acting is really kind of an outlet for what I do, you know, in real life. As a matter of fact, one of my editors who also does video production, he does some behind the scenes work. He came down and we were filming in one of my real life cases. We were filming a day in the life of video, where, you know, this young 18-year-old man was killed by a semi truck. And so then we're interviewing the family and we're putting together a video for the jury. And that's the first time he had ever helped me. And so he's standing behind the camera and he's bawling he's just bawling his eyes out almost uncontrollably. I mean, he was holding it together, but we took a break. I said, let's take a break. And we go outside. He said, this is the toughest thing I've ever seen in my life. He's like, how do you do this? And I said, well, it's our job. It's what we do day in and day out.
Yeah.
But I like to take those, you know, the stories and, you know, truth is stranger than fiction. But I mean, I like to take the stories and that sort of stuff and just kind of mold it into the scripts. Just kind of that pain and the suffering and the tortured soul and mold into the scripts and the stories. Go ahead.
You know, no, it also helps, you know, us see a different side. I guess many times we want to, and with our job, we're trying to make people laugh and forget all that stuff. But that's reality, and that's what goes on. And I noticed just as we were watching some of the movie, was that Bo Duke that you have in there?
He said John Schneider.
John Schneider.
He said that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We have John and I had some great times. It started rough. I picked him up from the airport. And we had been filming. You gotta know that, you know, our films typically, we film Tulsa in 20 days.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you sleep, you know, about 4 hours a night. I mean, we do as the production team. We sleep about 4 hours a night, six if you're lucky. And every now and then you get a day off. So I had a day off. And he said, do you want to pick John up from the airport? I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
And anyhow, he delayed and had to go to the Atlanta airport. So then I had to drive out to Atlanta 2 hours away. Then I get there. And I am doing everything I can to stay awake. And then his flight got delayed almost 2 hours. So it's like, you know, 12, 1 in the morning.
Sure.
So we had this humorous trip where, like, it rained on us, and I was just trying to get to his hotel as fast as possible because he was tired. But we're having a great time. You know, he's a recording artist, so he was cranking up his new album, Redneck Rebel.
Right.
And I was like, John, this is good stuff. And so he was singing, and we were, you know, singing along and having a good time. And then there's a long stretch from Atlanta to Augusta where there's no gas stations. And so, you know, the car says 50 miles till you're out of gas. Wow, no problem. So literally got to zero, and I turned the radio down and said, you're going to kill me. And he's like, what? I said, we're about ready to run out of gas. And there was no gas station in sight. And he's like, well, I kind of noticed that. And I said, John, you're going to kill me. And it was, now, keep in mind, it's pouring rain. He's like, well, you're not too nervous. I said, John, I was in the Marine Corps. I can walk 50 miles. I said, it doesn't bother me. I said, but I'm not putting a legend out in the rain walking with me back to Augusta. So,
yeah.
So I was like praying to myself. I'm like, God, please. So we found a gas station. The gas tank was literally on zero. We went in there on fumes, filled up. I'm like, great, everything's good. And then we jump back on the road. I'm flying past the police officer. Boom. He pulls us over.
Oh, boy.
John gets me out of a ticket. I mean,
does he really?
So he gets,
yeah, he got us out of a ticket. Absolutely. I posted it on my social media, and he's like, I said, John, I need a picture of this. And he's like, record it. So he, you know, he gets us out of a ticket, and he's like, hey, I need to get my friend out of this ticket. You know, he's just trying to get me. So just great guy.
Awesome.
And then another quick John Schneider story. So,
well, hold on. Wait, I got to say something right there. I'm like, he got you out of a ticket. Was it Roscoe P. Coltrane?
It was.
It's like a Duke boy got me out of his traffic ticket.
That's right. Boss Hogg was calling in. So anyhow, and another quick John Schneider story. So, you know, I'm a big car guy. I love muscle cars and fast cars. And so I've got a 2016 Hellcat that's, you know, 800 horsepower, and then I've modified it a little bit. So we're filming all night in this hospital in Augusta. Everything's going along well. And so I said to John, I said, John, when we break for lunch, it's, you know, when you break, it's midnight. I said, when we break to eat, I said, let's eat real fast. I said, let's take the Hellcat out and have some fun. And of course, he's a big car guy, so he said, absolutely. So we eat real quick. We jump in the car, and I let him drive. And so he's doing a bunch of stunts out on this medical campus that we were filming on. We're, you know, doing stunts and all
right.
That stuff. And he did a 180 slot, you know, reverse slide with a yeehaw. So it was like a kid's dream come true.
Yeah.
And so then I said, all right, John, I said, let me drive. He's like, no, I'll make you a good passenger. I said, come on, John. I said, just a couple minutes. I promise you I'll be fine. You know, you'll be fine. Everything will be fine. And I don't blame him because I've been in that situation before because you don't know how somebody can drive.
Right.
So anyhow, so I get in the passenger seat. I turn the traction. I think the traction control was off. I turn it off and I pull up and there's a 4-lane road that we're turning on and I'm turning right. And I nail the gas and literally just spun that whole car around sideways. And then we're dog tracking up this 4-lane road sideways. And everybody in the car is freaking out and screaming because we have three other people in back and they thought we were going to die. So I'm like, relax. This is what I do. So anyhow, so I kind of calmed down. He's like, you don't have a stunt brake. I said, no, I don't have a stunt brake. I said, this is all pedal work. And so then we were kind of walking through that. Then we go up and we park and they're yelling at us, get back inside and film. And then John's like, Hey, can I take another try? He's like, since you drive your car hard, I said, yeah, absolutely. So we jump back in. And then he is, of course, tearing it up, you know, more stunts and all this. And so then we pull in, and then our locations guy's like, he's like, you guys, he's like, park that car and get outside. He said, the cops are already, they're looking for you guys. looking for a Camaro. And so, because we've modified the Hellcat so it doesn't look like
right.
a standard Hellcat.
Right.
So anyhow, so we run upstairs, and the cops are circling. They're trying to find this Camaro out there. So even the next day, one of the police officers who was like on locations for us, he's like, hey, man, did you see a Camaro out here last night? I said, no, sir, I did not see a Camaro.
You liar.
No, it wasn't a Camaro. It was a Hellcat.
you mentioned something during that. You said, don't worry, I drive this way all the time. I've found that doesn't help.
Yeah.
Because, I've got the Corvette, the ZR1, and it's the same situation. People get in the car with me, and it doesn't matter to them that I drive that way all the time. It's still scary for them.
So, absolutely. And it's funny. I just saw one of my buddies this weekend. He lives up in Indiana, and he still recalls. He said, "I thought we were." He said, "I literally thought we were going to die."
I won't ride with either one of you two because I've been in your car with both of you. All right, and it's kind of funny. I mean, because you were with John Schneider, Bo Duke, and of course he's probably had some driving lessons because he drove the General Lee for many years. How did you get him in the movie Tulsa with you? Like, did you know him?
So what happened was he saw, and we've done, this is actually our third film. We did another film called Black Bear. So he somehow saw the previous two films, called us up, and he's like, I have to act with you. He's like, you're like the next megastar. And I'm like, get out of here, John. So I just made that whole thing up. That's not true.
That's pretty funny. I believed you.
I did too.
No, I'm teasing. So. We just, I have really good producers who are rather connected, and we reached out to his agents, and they want to read the script because people don't want to, most people with names do not want to act in a bad film.
Right.
So they, they read the script and we just worked it out. We worked it out where he flew in, basically did his, all his lines and his parts literally in one night. We shot overnight, and he was just great to work with. They look at your previous work, and the last film we filmed was Black Bear. It was all over. It was actually on Netflix, picked it up. Our contract just ended with them, but it's on Amazon, iTunes, all that stuff.
Okay.
And so there we acted with Eric Roberts, which was really cool. But, they just kind of look and check you out and see your previous stuff. And so and see if it's a fit. And they liked he really liked the story. So we were extremely, extremely excited to have him. I mean, I was like a little schoolgirl. I was so, so happy working with John Schneider because, I grew up watching him on TV. So it was literally surreal. Even in the scene when we were acting, I'm just like going to myself, this is John Schneider. Yeah. It's so cool.
Now, I have a question about this because Hollywood's gotten so warped and twisted now, but it seems like there's a select group of actors who like to be involved in these more healthy, home, family-friendly, even Christian faith-based films. And is he one of those, or is he just happened to be into this film?
I certainly – that's a good question. I mean, he certainly – I would say yes. I'd say yes, he's one of them. I mean, John is he's a stand-up guy. He's a Christian himself. And so, he's a stand-up guy. And I think if the right project comes along, they're certainly interested in it. So – and definitely, we'll – it seems like it's more of a trend because, as you said earlier, Tom, these faith-based films, they're starting to get more and more and more popular and starting to really rock the box office, which is wonderful. So I think people are like, okay, because there's been, like any genre, there's a fair amount of, films that aren't necessarily high quality or, whatever. And
well, it's like Christian music when it started. It wasn't that great to begin with, but it's grown over the years.
Absolutely. Perfect analogy. So I would say the same thing definitely with film. There's some filmmakers that are coming up who are really, really killing it.
Well, that's where I think you are. You're one of those people that's taken it to that next level.
Yeah, this movie is excellent.
Thank you. And I really appreciate that. And I will tell you it is the grace of God, but it's certainly the grace of God for the doors that he's opened.
Right.
But I also have to shout out to the team and the other producers. Of course, my wife is my secret weapon. She's the secret sauce.
Yeah. I know that for a fact.
Hey,
y'all.
We knew when you married her that was like, I don't know how you pulled that off.
Married up.
I married up a couple rungs. So, anyhow, but the team, we get together, and typically our little secret, I'll share a little secret with what we do. So typically, again, you got to have a really, 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 really strong script and story. It's got to be excellent, and that's what we go for. I don't want to throw junk on the screen. I just don't. So that's the foundation. But then what we do is we look for other artists, such as your director of photography, or just whoever else who they have really excellent work but they need a bigger opportunity. So maybe they've done some short films and their direct, you know, their cinematic look looks incredible, and you can point to it and say, that's what I want. And then give them the opportunity to do a feature film, which they haven't done. Everybody's looking to build their resume and grow.
Right.
And so a lot of times, like your cinematographers, they have their own cameras and lens packages, which are very, very costly for independent films. So we're able to kind of horse trade, and what we say is we pay an opportunity, and that's really, really worked well for us. But keep in mind, you know, we've got to see that they have a history of work, and then when we talk to them, we want it to be their passion project, as opposed to, you know, when I hear somebody saying, you know, how much do we get paid? How much do we get paid? And it's all about the pay. And look, we do pay, and pay is important. But like, I know, I'm like, that's not the person, because I want somebody to read the script and say, I have to be a part of this.
Right.
And so we have a phenomenal cast and crew who are all, I mean, just excellent. When we're on set, it's like a family environment, and it's people usually comment, so, wow, you run a good set. And that's what we want to keep, the good attitude, good tone, you know, strong leadership. I've been on bad sets. I don't know that I posted this anywhere, but Sylvester Stallone is one of my, like, he's an icon to me because of the Rocky and all that.
Right.
And I was on a film. It literally went to the foreign countries and everything like that. So it wasn't any of this mainstream stuff. But I remember being on a set, and I won't say the name of the film or anything, and you've never heard of it. So, but I just, anyhow, I'm going to keep that private. So a friend of mine said, hey, why don't you, he knew that, you know, just, I will do extra work if I'm going to be able to watch like a Sylvester Stallone or a major actor, because I want to see them work.
Right.
And so he said, hey, man, I can guarantee you that you're going to be an extra, because he was helping running the set. So on my way down, I actually flew back from California. I was writing a script. And so I flew back from California. And so my buddy calls me up and says, hey, you know, I can get you in this film. And then on my way down to the movie set, somebody called me up and said, hey, I see that, you know, you're a muscular guy. He's like, do you want to be a stand-in for Stallone? I was like, yep.
So,
and a stand-in, it's not sexy. So a stand-in is simply you stand there while the camera focuses on you, and then when the real star comes in, you just get off to the side and get out of the way.
That's funny.
And then the star comes in. So I was able to be around him all day. You know, you don't chat him up. I'm very professional, but on that set, and it was no fault of his whatsoever, none whatsoever. It wasn't him. He flew in for literally one day of filming. But I remember the director, and again, I'm not going to say the name of the film, he was nasty. I mean, he was nasty. Anyhow, I'll leave it there. I left and I bit my tongue, and I'm like, I will never run a set like that ever.
I know
ever,
who
ever.
It was. Ellen DeGeneres. All right, so the movie is called Tulsa, and that is the little girl's name, and it's a story that she is basically without parents. They find her father, who is a veteran with PTSD, and she manages to work her way into his heart. It's an incredible movie. I've got to tell you, folks, this is a good movie. You should check it out.
It's open nationwide in all the Regal cinemas, and we're excited for you, Scott, because, of course, you were here in the Upstate for many years, and we're excited to see, you know, how the Lord's using you and spreading the good word and the good news, and it's a family-friendly movie, so go watch it this weekend, and thanks for hanging out with us here on the Hawk and Tom Show.
Thank you so much, guys. You guys have been great friends for years, and I really, really appreciate you guys supporting us. You guys have always been there for us, and I truly mean, you know, you guys have a special place in my heart. So thank you so much, and hopefully we'll see you guys out there.
And when you get super big and you don't need that Hellcat anymore, I'll take it off your hands.
Hey, come on. Hopefully that happens.
All right, Scott. Thanks
thank
a lot,
you.
Man.
All right, thanks, guys.
Love you, buddy.
Great talking to you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.